I'm Brian. I'm back with part 5 of our adventures into the world of music in our program about music. We covered in the space of 4 episodes the 4 basic qualities of a musical sound, namely pitch, which is low or high sounds, duration, which includes rhythm, timbre, also known as tonal colour, and intensity or loudness. Towards the end of last week's program, I spoke about another aspect to intensity, namely emotional intensity. This can also be described as the energy suggested by the music. Emotional intensity in music refers to the degree of emotional expressiveness or power that a piece of music or performance conveys to the listener. It can be described as the feeling that is communicated through music. Remembering the quotation attributed to Beethoven that to play without passion is inexcusable, perhaps we could also use the word passion to describe one aspect of emotional intensity. At the very end of last week's program, I played for you one of the most intense, emotionally passionate pieces of music ever composed, Tchaikovsky's First Piano Concerto. When listening to this particular work with attention, one might come away feeling quite exhausted. The music of Tchaikovsky raises many different reactions in listeners because of the range of techniques that Tchaikovsky uses to convey passion in music. Some of these reactions are exhaustion, because of the high energy required of the soloist and the orchestra, and therefore of the listener. Some listeners report depression, arising from emotional exhaustion. Excitement, because of the amazing level of skill displayed by the soloist. Antipathy, because some listeners simply feel it's too romantic, too in your face. And then there are listeners who actually hear nothing because they're not listening. It's simply one more noise in the background. The point is that with the exception of this last mentioned, the music produced a reaction. Emotional intensity can vary greatly depending on the style, genre, and context of the music, as well as the specific emotional intention of the composer or performer. Emotional intensity can also be conveyed through other musical elements such as tempo or speed, timbre or tone color, and articulation, which refers to how the notes are played. Let's listen to 3 short pieces and 1 longer piece of music to illustrate these points. Here is a piece from the early 1700s composed by Johann Sebastian Bach. It is his first prelude and fugue from his famous collection of 48, of which Hans von Bülow famously said that in piano music, Bach is the Old Testament and Beethoven the New Testament. This prelude is technically extremely simple. Amateur pianists who can play nothing else can often play this prelude. It consists of a sequence of chords. In contrast to the simplicity of the first prelude, the first fugue is one of the most intricate, tightly woven, and masterfully constructed of the 48.
Thank you.
So, what was the emotional intensity of this work? It is cool, calm, collected, and yet highly intellectual. It is at a moderate speed with a neutral tone color. By neutral tone color, I mean that the tone color does not affect the emotional impact of this piece. The sounds are connected smoothly with no disturbing contrasts. This is typical of one aspect of the instrumental music of the period. Many people listened to the music of Bach to calm themselves. The music of this period was strongly influenced by theoretical principles concerning music intervals, keys, and the doctrine of affections. According to the doctrine of affections, the key of the music we just heard, which was C major, is suitable for songs of mirth and joy. Another aspect of the music of this period is high emotional intensity, often seen in opera, oratorio, and songs. Here is the song, "For Unto Us a Child is Born," from a composition of George Frideric Handel, The Messiah.
For unto us a child is born.
Bach and Handel were exact contemporaries, both born in 1685, and although the similarities in their music are great, the two works we have just heard illustrate the way in which the emotional content is governed by the context and the genre. The piece we just heard was written for a completely different context to the intellectual work of Bach. It was written for the celebration of Easter. The Messiah eventually became one of the best known and most frequently performed choral pieces in Western music. The Hallelujah Chorus is one of the most famous pieces of Baroque choral music and the most widely known section of this work. The emotional intensity of this work is undoubtedly all about joy, triumph, and celebration. The speed is also moderate, but the tone color is very varied, with a full orchestra and choir and voices of both men and women taking turns to sing a highly complex interweaving of the voices. According to the Doctrine of Fictions, this piece in G major is suitable for tender and happy songs. It fits. Both the Bach and the Handel pieces have in common the interweaving of melodies. We refer to these as voices even when they are played on an instrument, and the style is called contrapuntal or polyphonic. Polyphonic literally means involving many sounds or melodies at the same time. Now we move on to a different stylistic period, the Viennese Classical, also sometimes referred to as the Classical Era or the Age of Enlightenment, and to the music of Mozart and his contemporaries. Composers helped to shape the musical language of the time, emphasizing clarity, balance, simplicity, and moving away from the complex polyphonic textures of the Baroque period. The music of the Viennese Classical period is characterized by its formal structures, clear tonality, and emphasis on melody and harmony. The Viennese Classical period was also marked by the rise of public concerts and the patronage of wealthy nobility, which allowed composers to create music for a wider audience. Building on musical structure started by the previous generation of composers, the composers in this stylistic period perfected a musical structure that was almost universally used for over 150 years. This is the sonata form, found in sonatas for every instrument, symphonies, concertos, quartets, ensemble music, in short, every style of instrumental music. Without discussing this structure now, this is material for a future program, this structure lends itself to every emotion and every style, as our next two items show. First, a movement of a composition of Mozart, the opening of the Eine kleine Nachtmusik. This piece is an exact example of the sonata form, but for today what I would like you to listen to is the clear, simple lines, the pleasing simplicity and joyfulness. The emotional intensity of this movement is clearly very easygoing and digestible, nothing to disturb or upset the emotions, but rather to stir feelings of happiness, lightheartedness. A quick tempo, a light-sounding string orchestra for color, and very short breaths of music with lots of breaks in the continuity, these all work together to produce slightly breathless, excitable energy.
Thank you.
Next up, another full-length piano concerto of the early 20th century by Rachmaninoff. It is equally famous as the Tchaikovsky and equally stirring of all the emotions. This it does by means of quick tempos with dashing bravura playing by the soloist, raising the excitement level, grand and huge orchestral sounds for a variety of colors and bold, even thrilling passages consisting of cascades of notes in the first and third movements. These are contrasted with a deeply introspective middle movement at a slow pace and a much more subdued orchestral piano solo. A solo flute playing a syncopated rhythm, alternating with clarinet and piano, give us a very mellow palette of color, and the emotional impact is to cause us to look inside ourselves and examine some of our own deeper emotions. And then the orchestra wakes up, and with a thrilling shriek of notes, the piano wakes us up from our reverie, catches us unawares, and rudely drags us from our reverie. Is it any wonder that this concerto and the Tchaikovsky of last week are two of the best-known pieces of music worldwide, and they feature in every piano competition final round, showing us the brilliance of the young titans of piano performance. As I requested last week, your homework for this week is to please listen to this concerto as many times as you have the opportunity. Please listen to various artists, compare the speed and the overall emotion of the performances. Try to decide what it is you like best about each. We will be talking about this concerto often as well. Before we hear the concerto, I'm saying so long for this week. I hope you will join me again next week. Please remember that if you have any questions or comments, you are welcome to write to me at brian@gsaradio.stream. Notice the .stream, not .com. brian@gsaradio.stream. All the above is available for you to read and play on the website, where you will also find links to the music we heard and other information. That is www.gsaradio.stream. Simply look in our podcast section, where all the programs so far are available, and also there you will find the links to all the performances with full details of artists if you would like to know who the performers were. All performances are available on YouTube Music. So, now enjoy Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto. Sit back, be invigorated, and be intensely transported. Thank you.
Thank you.
long for now.